Maar het is anders taak hoe ze is kolokeren brengen dan haar in aan, denk ik dan ook. Dat de wealth of kolok, de spiritual wealth, is present in haar in aan, denk ik. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Ye dine griyate bhajana dekhi, griyate kolokabhaya. He says, that day that we are at home chanting the holy name of the Lord, that moment the spiritual world descends. So in that way, wherever there is Krishna, there is also the spiritual world. I've sometimes mentioned that just as we travel, you know, there's always the weight allowance, and from 20 kilos, 23 kilos, 30 kilos, you know. But even 30 kilos is never enough. And 40 is still, somehow or another, just a squeeze. That is the nature, the proverbial kitchen sink, which we want to take with us. When Krishna travels from the spiritual world to the material world, it is not that Krishna packs his suitcase. Krishna comes to the material world but brings the entire spiritual world with him, everything. Right. So everything is here. So when Krishna comes in the form of his holy name, then also, since the holy name is non different from Krishna, the spiritual world is present. And that is our unique secret. Sometimes people have wondered, what is happening when we are chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra? I was in Sweden and His Holiness Smita Krishna Swami. Yeah. Not to be confused with the other one.
Far from
him. He's a very nice Swami. I like him. He is like, Sweden is a place, you know, it is different. In the sense that in the winter it's just dark, right? And it's just cold, and people are used to be in their houses, right, and sit there and think for a long time. So once I was in a meeting, in a European something management meeting, and I was sitting between the European Minister of Communication and Smita Krishna Swami. So our European head of communication took a big piece of paper and he wrote on the piece of paper in front of him, don't forget to think. Yeah? Next to me, on the notepad of Maharaj, I see appearing, don't forget to think, under it, why think? Under it, just remember, under it, Krishna. That was like, what can I say? Two different worlds, you know. One, the world of active communication with the world and being like right with it, and the other one, the deep, thoughtful, reflective mood of Smita Krishna Swami. So Smita Krishna Swami once mentioned that, he said, Prabhupada once said that when the Harinam party goes to the street, he said, not only do the people in the street change, but the street itself changes. And anyone who goes through that street later on will also change. So just think about that, the potency of the holy name and how it can transform places. And one place which I like, I know Shunil likes that place also, is Tonkin Square Park and that tree where Prabhupada chanted Hare Krishna. Yeah. So whenever I'm in New York, I go to that tree. And, you know, in Vrindavan, there's a lot of devotees that like to hug trees. It's sort of a thing they do. They hug a tree and start praying. I guess following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who embraced all the trees when he came to Vrindavan. Somehow or other, when you're Dutch, you know, your mother tells you as a child, just ignore, that's crazy enough. You know, so I kind of couldn't get myself to hug trees, you know, too self-conscious. But when I was there in that park, you know, I said, to hell with it all, I'm going to hug this tree, you know what I mean? This is Prabhupada's tree, you know, it's not just any tree. So I hugged the tree, and I thought, like, well, what do you do when you hug the tree? So you send up some prayer. So I prayed for the power to preach Krishna consciousness, which I thought was appropriate for the place. And I sort of, okay, I finish my hug. I turn around, and there's a boy standing under the tree. And he says to me, he says, what do I have to do to become a monk like you? Mm-hmm. I tell you one thing, that tree is a desire tree, if you had any doubt about it. I don't know if that tree came from the spiritual world and was waiting for Prabhupada to start his mission there, or if that tree just became like transformed by Prabhupada's chanting. But I tell you one thing, that tree is a desire tree. So whatever you pray there can be fruitful. So keep that in mind. When you go to New York, don't skip the tree. And just hug it, all right? Don't be shy. Just go for it and pray, because it's very potent, I can tell you from my own experience. So in this way, we are the mercy. The mercy of Krishna is inconceivable. I was thinking about the Holy Dham, that it is such a place, such a thing. It is said there is the Ekapat Vibhuti and the Tripat Vibhuti. The Ekapat Vibhuti is the material world, one quarter. The Tripat Vibhuti is the spiritual world, it is three quarters. So how can you fit the three quarters into the one quarter? How is it possible for the spiritual world to be present in the material world? One quarter is a glass, right? And three glasses, how can you put three glasses of liquid into one? If that's a magician's job. So Krishna, he did that somehow or other. He fit the spiritual world into the material world. Because Krishna was thinking. He was thinking to himself, ah, there are these conditioned souls. They are somehow or other excluded from the mercy of the ocean of transcendental love, known as the Prema Sagar, which is the spiritual world. An ever-increasing ocean of loving exchange between Krishna and all his devotees. Everyone's love is always growing, because everyone is discovering. It is said in Adi Lila chapter 4, Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Srimati Radharani discovers always a new quality of Krishna. And with it, she immediately loves that quality. And therefore her love is always increasing. And we can see that every devotee is the same. We are also beginning like that. Our love is in a beginning stage. But, you know, I like it that Krishna steals. I kind of find it appealing. You know, something in me is attracted to a playful Supreme Lord. It's a lovable quality. That he's not just so righteous. You know? So, little by little, we discover qualities of Krishna. And little by little, we get captured by these qualities. So, in the ocean of transcendental love, the devotees become more and more captured by the qualities of Krishna, and their love increases, and Krishna becomes captured by that increasing love. Therefore, the Prema Sagar, the ocean of transcendental love, is eternally increasing. It is that what is reflected in the holy name. Then, here in the material world, there are a few sour faces, somehow or other, a few who have missed out, who sort of feel like a few just... they didn't quite participate. And now, hesitantly, we begin. So, Krishna was thinking, let me give some mercy to this conditioned soul. And then he was thinking, some mercy? Why would I give them some mercy? I will give them all the mercy. And thus Krishna gave the entire spiritual world. And that spiritual world is present in the Holy Dham, and we can go there any time. But then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur begins to highlight that we can also invoke that Dham. Just like when Prabhupada invoked New Vrindavan, right? Or New Mayapur, or like that. That is, now are these places actually like Vrindavan? It's like, and Srila Bhaktivedanta Thakur points out, yes, there is no difference when the devotee actually invokes Vrindavan at that time. Vrindavan is fully manifest there. Fully. Of course, later, you know, when maybe that devotee withdraws, then maybe Vrindavan also withdraws, then maybe, or when he's... Of course, when Prabhupada manifested New Vrindavan, he prayed. He prayed that simply Vrindavan would be present there. Therefore, Vrindavan is still present there today, although Prabhupada may not be personally present now, there. Doesn't matter. Still Vrindavan present. And in that way, we can actually invoke Vrindavan. As Jiva Goswami states in his Bhakti Sandarbha, that Vrindavan is a state of consciousness. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta one time said that he said there is an intimate correlation between Nam and Dham. He said the Nam cannot fully manifest without the Dham. It's only within the Dham that the Nam fully manifests. Of course, where there's Nam, Dham becomes manifest. But Dham means that state of consciousness. That consciousness of Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my mind is like Vrindavan. He said, for most people, the mind and the heart is the same. Whatever they desire, that's where the mind is. He said, but in my case, my mind is Vrindavan. And since you like Vrindavan, Lord Chaitanya said in the mood of Srimati Radharani, then please place your footsteps there, right, in my mind. So, Vrindavan is that place which is 100% dedicated to the pleasure of Krishna. Everything in Vrindavan is simply an arrangement for the pleasure of Krishna. So, by this chanting, gradually our mind will become purified and gradually Golokira Premadana, the entire wealth of Golok will manifest into our mind. And we will become like the walking Dham. Wherever we are, we will be in Vrindavan. And we can transform places into Vrindavan, as Prabhupada did, transforming so many places. Just near to that tree in New York, there's matchless gifts, right? And it's just such a place. The walls are just vibrating, you know, vibrating with potency. I mean, Prabhupada's potency in that place is just, whew, it's just overwhelming, overwhelming. It's just amazing. What can we say? In this way, so many places. In Vrindavan, there's Prabhupada's rooms. And Prabhupada's rooms are nice because Prabhupada was there personally. But also, it was the first time that Prabhupada really had a place, you know, like, which they had specially made for him. They even made a fireplace in there for the winter, but they forgot to, there was a shutter, a metal shutter that closed the chimney, and you had to open it up. So they made the fire in Prabhupada's room, and the smoke got everywhere, and Prabhupada said, this is useless. This is useless. And they forgot to open that metal flap, right, so that the chimney would work. So Prabhupada never wanted it. And they never used it again. So, somehow or other, these foreign inventions. So he was there in his quarters in Vrindavan, and we see some of the early BBT paintings there on the wall. The famous painting where Radha and Krishna are seated under a desire tree with jewels under it, fanned by the and served by the Astasakhi, is hanging above Prabhupada's head. A little bit on the side wall from him is the painting of Krishna and Balaram, who are returning at night after having been in the forest. And it is a very nice painting because it is a real Vrindavan painting, because everybody is there. You can see when Krishna and Balaram are walking that the eyes of all the cows and calves are upon them. Squirrels are looking, peacocks are dancing and looking at Krishna. And you see how the cowherd boys are walking with Krishna, coming back and looking at Krishna and Balaram. And how the elders are standing at the side of the road and are seeing how Krishna is returning. And you can see how the gopis are behind the columns or on the roofs, also looking at Krishna. And you can just see everyone is just focused on Krishna. So Prabhupada's house is like that, such a Krishna conscious place. And then you see some smaller pictures that were gifts that were given to Prabhupada. Like there is an LA Sankirtan party. And they are all synchronized doing the Swami step. And they are doing big Swami step. And they're all like this, you know, tilted to one side. Right? Serious Swami step. And on that picture, all synchronized, right? And it's there on Prabhupada's wall. And it's interesting because they gave that picture to Prabhupada, right, with the idea that Prabhupada would remember them and would come to them. And like that, the house is alive. There is like, you see the disciples trying to attract Prabhupada's attention and trying to draw him to wherever their place is in the world. So they give him a picture of their deities. So the Prabhupada was, oh, I must come and see those deities. Yes. In this way, it is alive with loving exchange. So such loving exchange is the nature of the spiritual world. Not only between Krishna and each devotee, but also between the devotees themselves. And that is such a unique thing. It's like over lunch we're talking a little bit about community, and then say, well, that's community, the community of the spiritual world. And of course, I'm remembering Bhakti Charumaraj's story now that I am here. And it was interesting because in that story, at the end, when Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, there was a team of sannyasis. They were looking after Prabhupada, and Bhakti Charumaraj was one of them. And one time, Prabhupada was, well, he was ill and he was on a diet and he needed things, you know, to sort of get his strength. So Prabhupada rang the bell. And he said that he wanted orange juice. So Bhakti Charumaraj said, yes, Prabhupada, I'll make it right away. And then, but it didn't come, you know, and nothing is as annoying as when you send someone to get something and they don't come back, you know, and say, it's very kind of like, and it took just too long. And Prabhupada was just, after some time, again, the bell rang, and this time the bell rang like very serious, you know. So Bhakti Charumaraj went back, and Prabhupada said, where's the orange juice? I said, like, well, you know, it's just now coming. What do you mean, just now coming, you know? So much time, I mean, you know, can't you just get some orange juice, a simple thing? Can't you just get it together, right? And Prabhupada said, I don't want it anymore. He says, no, you're just making it up. Said, forget it, I don't want it anymore. So then Bhakti Charumaraj, he went. And after some time, he comes back with the orange juice. And Prabhupada is like, totally like, I told you, I don't want that orange juice. I don't want it anymore. Take it away. And then Bhakti Churu Maharaj, he stood there and then he said, "You can chastise me for being too late, and I deserve it. But please, you know, please take the orange juice, because it's good for you." So then Prabhupada said, "Okay, all right, give it, you know, drink the orange juice," and said, like, you know, "An old men are sometimes a little grumpy." And what can I say? It is a wonderful exchange, because we can see that Prabhupada had purchased Bhakti Churu Maharaj by loving dealings to a point where Maharaj was like ready to tolerate anything, right, and just be a humble servant. And even when he was treated like that, you know, and probably there was a reason, probably the oranges were not just right there, you know, usually there is a reason. But the one who is being served cannot tolerate hearing such reasons. You know, he wants the orange juice. I can fully identify. I get in these moods also. But then we see, you know, how like God sent him away and how he comes back, right, anyway, with that orange juice, at the risk, you know, at a risk of like being like burned in fire. Right, still he came back. And then he said, "Okay, you please chastise me, but take the orange juice, it's good for you." And next moment, Prabhupada became purchased, and he became purchased. So this is, these are Vaishnava relationships, where one purchases the other. And this is wonderful. This is the spiritual world. So when we speak about the spiritual world, we're not just speaking a world about glorifying Krishna, but we're also speaking a world where Vaishnavas actually appreciate each other and conquer each other. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he had disappeared for 3 days. The devotees were living by the rope of hope. And then Acharya Ratna, who was also missing, he came back. And everyone saw him and said, "Acharya Ratna, what happened?" Acharya Ratna said, "I cannot say. Acharya Ratna, where is the Lord? I cannot say. Acharya Ratna!" Everyone heard it. He took sannyas. No, he took sannyas. Then Acharya Ratna said, "Yes, but I have a message from Nityananda to Advaita Acharya." And Nityananda said that he will somehow or other, by hook or by crook, will bring the Lord to the house of Advaita Acharya. And Advaita Acharya then began to jump up in the sky, and he bounced up and down and said, "Nityananda, Nityananda, Nityananda, what a friend. He has conquered me." So this is the amazing thing of the nature of the spiritual world. No relationship is taken for granted. Everyone is conquering everyone by service, by really going out of their way for each other. And this is what makes the spiritual world descend on. So our chanting of Hare Krishna will gradually melt our hearts to the point where we'll come to this kind of mood. And in that way, our true Vaishnava community will develop. You know, then we really have the perfect situation on earth. You know, sometimes the Jehovah Witnesses were speaking about one day heaven on earth will come, right? And what will it be like? You know, dogs and cats will be friends, and you know, families will be still there, but no more fighting. Everyone will just love everyone, and it will always be wonderful. But we know what it's really going to be like. It's going to be the world where different Vaishnavas conquer each other with their service attitude. Well, when I think of things like that, then, yeah, that's inspiring. So, are there any comments or someone likes to add a realization or a question?
That is, all I could say is when you're chanting the holy name, it was a spiritual world. Because it was so blissful.
Well, Prabhupada says it should be like a sandwich. Chanting, then a little kata, then more chanting.
Yes. I know.
That's how it is. So we'll do a little more.